This afternoon, we open God's Word and the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. This passage will also be the text for this afternoon. Mark 2, 1 through 12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in my ministry, I've experienced that people will do almost anything for their health. If someone has been diagnosed with cancer, they'll go to great lengths in order to eradicate that cancer. Sometimes that means enduring excruciating chemo treatments. Other times that means traveling to another country where there's some renowned surgeon who might be able to take care of the problem. And still in other cases, it means spending lots of money in order to find that specific cure when OHIP doesn't even cover the cost. People will do almost anything for their health. And that's fully understandable. We were not created to die. We were created to live. Well, the paralytic in Mark chapter 2 was also willing to go to great lengths. He had heard that Jesus was back in town, and his four friends carried him to Jesus. And he eventually saw Jesus in a very unique way. This afternoon, I proclaim God's word to you under the following theme: a two-for-one deal. Jesus Christ forgives and heals the paralytic and uses the healing of the paralytic to show that he has authority to forgive sins. We'll know three things. First of all, the faith of the five. Secondly, the response of Christ. And thirdly, the vindication by the Father. So the text is about a two-for-one deal. Jesus Christ forgives and heals the paralytic and uses the healing of the paralytic to show that he has authority to forgive sins. We know three things: the faith of the five, the response of Christ, and the vindication by the Father. Well, the Lord Jesus had been going around preaching all over Galilee. He had been preaching about the kingdom of heaven, and he had been identifying himself as the promised Savior sent from heaven by God. It was a message of repentance and faith. And you read in Mark 1, 14 and 15, that Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Not only was the Lord Jesus preaching the gospel, but he was also demonstrating the gospel by those many miracles that he performed. You can read in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus healed people of many diseases. In fact, people flocked to Jesus to hear his preaching and to receive his healing. Those healings were designed and intended to underline the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel being that Jesus came into the world to save us from all the brokenness of life in this world. And when the Lord Jesus healed people of diseases, when he made the lame to walk and the blind to see, and when he cast out the demons, he was showing something of that new world which he had come to inaugurate, a world in which there will be no brokenness and no heartache. Well, when Jesus was back in Capernaum, word spread that he was back in town. And it didn't take long, and the house where Jesus was packed. And he was preaching, and there was standing room only. The crowd spilled out onto the street. So when the paralytic came to that house, carried by his four friends, there was no way that the paralytic could get close to Jesus. But he wanted to see Jesus. And his friends wanted him to see Jesus too. They had come for a healing. So somehow they hoisted their buddy onto the roof of the house, and they started to dig their way through the roof. In the world of that time, a roof consisted of beams and branches and tiles and mud. And these men started to burrow their way through that roof. And after a little while, a little hole appeared. And it became bare. And maybe a little twig and some debris fell down into the room where Jesus and the crowd were. And then all of a sudden, those four friends lowered the paralytic by way of ropes and placed him right in front of Jesus. You can imagine, brothers and sisters, that when that man was being lowered through the roof, all attention was focused on him. What would Jesus do? It's remarkable that in this account, we don't read of a single word spoken by the paralytic or by his four friends. And I think that's understandable because sometimes actions speak louder than words. And I imagine that when that paralytic was lying there on his mat in front of Jesus in that house, his eyes said it all as he looked to Jesus with a look in his eyes that must have said, "Jesus, please heal me." That was a real act of faith on the part of those five. Yes, on the part of those five men, not just the paralytic, because the text tells us that Jesus saw their faith, plural, the faith of all five of them. They all five had faith. In fact, if his four friends had not had faith that Jesus could help, when they came to the house, those four friends could have said to their buddy, hey, look, the place is full. You can't get in. We might as well go home. But they didn't. And they demonstrated their faith by going to great lengths to present that paralytic to Jesus for healing. People will do almost anything for healing. And now the question for us this afternoon is, as we reflect on the paralytic and his four friends and their faith, do we have that kind of faith in Jesus? When we are faced with crises in life, whatever they may be, do we look to Jesus as the one who is able to help us? Do we look to Jesus with a sense of perseverance? And that we don't give up because we trust that Jesus is the answer to our every quest. Well, they had come in faith, and the paralytic was lying in front of Jesus in the house. And then we read about the response of Jesus. We read that he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now imagine that for a moment. They'd come for healing. And the crowd would have also expected a healing. But Jesus spoke about forgiveness. And I can imagine that the paralytic and his four friends thought to themselves, well, that's wonderful, but we didn't come for that. We came for healing. But you see, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus was going to the heart of the matter. The Lord Jesus was going to the core of why he came into this world. Next week, you're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the classic Lord's Supper form has that line, you'll probably recognize it, that the Lord Jesus came into this world to deal with the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin. The Lord Jesus didn't just want people to come to him for healing. He wanted people to recognize him as the one who had come into this world to deal with sin. And so he spoke about forgiveness to the paralytic. And he said it in a very emphatic way. He said, "Son, forgiven are your sins." That's what it says very literally in Greek. That word forgiven is at the head of the sentence. Son, forgiven are your sins. And notice the compassion with which the Lord Jesus spoke. He addressed this man as son. And fathers and sons among us here this afternoon know that when that designation is used, when a father begins his conversation with his son by saying, "Son," then everybody knows something important is coming. Ears perk up. This is important. This is from the heart. This is meaningful. And so it was. Jesus Christ was speaking to this child of God. And he was speaking with all the compassion of the Father who had sent him into the world to be the Savior of fallen mankind, to redeem a people for God. "Son, your sins are forgiven." It was a very moving statement. It was also a very notable occurrence. This is the first recorded person to receive these words of forgiveness from Jesus in Capernaum. The first recorded person. And then think about who it was. This was a paralytic. The man could not even go to Jesus in his own steam. He needed four friends to carry him to Jesus. And this is the man who heard from Jesus, about forgiveness. The first recorded person in Capernaum. There's a message in that for us. And it ties in with the fact that you're going to celebrate the Holy Supper next Sunday. The fact that it was a paralytic who could not take one step to Jesus Christ on his own, who heard these words of forgiveness from our Savior, tells us that the gospel is the gospel of salvation by grace through work, through faith alone, without any works of ours. That's what you're going to celebrate next week at the Holy Supper. By going to the Lord's Supper, you are not declaring thereby that you are perfect and righteous in yourself, but you are declaring thereby that you seek your righteousness outside of yourself in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Salvation is by grace through faith, not because of our works. Well, I gave this sermon the theme, a two-for-one deal. And that's what it was. This paralytic and his four friends came for one thing. They came for healing. But they first received forgiveness, words of forgiveness. They received far more than they bargained for. If they had received healing, if the paralytic had received healing, they would have been happy and they would have gone home. That's what they had come for. But Jesus gave them something much greater. And here's the thing to note. The fact that Jesus Christ spoke about forgiveness means that there was also something in it for the four friends. If the Lord Jesus had only healed the paralytic and they had gone home, the four friends would have been happy, but there wouldn't have been anything in it for themselves. But by speaking about forgiveness, the Lord Jesus was also holding out something which was for them. Because they too had faith. And these words of Jesus about forgiveness were therefore also applicable to them. They also went home with something. Something great. And likewise, these words of Jesus had meaning for the people in the house. These words had meaning for believing bystanders in that house. Because maybe they didn't need healing, but they all needed forgiveness. And they could hear it in the words of Jesus, that if they believed in Jesus, forgiveness was for them too. And that's how we may listen to this passage this afternoon. Because we may not have a particular disability from which we need healing, like the paralytic, but we do all need forgiveness. And by grace through faith, we share in that good news of forgiveness. Do you see, brothers and sisters, how comforting this incident is? If it had only been about healing, well, the paralytic would have gone home happy, but eventually he would die. We all die. And these words of Jesus about forgiveness go with us even in the hour of death. Perhaps some members of this congregation are struggling with terminal illness, or maybe just illness in general. Perhaps you're dealing with loved ones who are terminally ill. We pray for healing. We hope for healing. But we all know we don't always receive healing. But the beautiful thing of the gospel is that these words of forgiveness, these comforting words, go with us even as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. they go with us. And we enter into the presence of our Savior as the redeemed people of God who live by grace through faith. That's the wonderful comfort that comes to us from this passage. The Lord Jesus gives us the prospect of living in perfection and wholeness with our Savior. Well, what were the scribes thinking, the teachers of the law? We're told what they were thinking. We read it in the verses 6 and 7. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They couldn't accept these words from Jesus because the Bible says that only God can forgive sins, and they did not acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of God come in the flesh. And so for them, these were words of blasphemy. But that's exactly why the Lord Jesus spoke these words, because he is the Son of God and he has the authority to forgive sins. And he came into this world to be our Savior. These scribes, these teachers of the law, were so close to the truth. And at the same time, so far from it. Why does this man speak like this? Only God can forgive sins. They were so close to the truth and so far from it because they rejected Jesus as the Son of God. And they spoke with disdain about Jesus. It says here in our translation that they questioned in their minds, "Why does this man speak like that?" In the Greek, all it says is, "Why does this speak like that?" Another translation has, "Why does this fellow speak like that?" And I think that captures the sense. It was a total disdain of Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus showed the very thing that they denied. He showed his divinity because he showed that he was able to read their minds. This is what we read in the verses 8 and 9. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within their minds, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk?'" The Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, read their minds. And he asked them, "What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed, and walk?" You see, the scribes were thinking, well, this Jesus of Nazareth can easily say your sins are forgiven, but we can't verify that. Forgiveness is something that takes place in heaven, and we cannot verify what happens in heaven. But if the Lord Jesus would say, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk," we could verify that. But you know, it was not easier for Jesus to speak about forgiveness than to heal the man from his paralysis. It was not easier. And you know why? Because Jesus Christ would have to go to the cross of Calvary in order to obtain our forgiveness. But then to show that he has authority on earth to forgive sins, the Lord Jesus said, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." But notice how the Lord Jesus spoke. And notice the context within which he put this. He said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." The Son of Man. The scribes thought of Jesus as only this fellow. And they spoke with utter contempt. But the Lord Jesus raised the bar and referred to himself as the Son of Man. And by doing that, the Lord Jesus was alerting them to the messianic vision that Daniel had received long ago, as recorded in Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14. Daniel received a vision in which he saw one like a Son of Man approach the Ancient of Days, that's God, and receive an everlasting kingdom. This is what we read in Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. By referring to himself as the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus was alerting them to that messianic vision, and he was telling them, I am that Messiah. I am that Savior, the Son of Man. And then he healed them. As the evidence that he has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Because he is the Savior, the Son of God, come in the flesh. And then we note the vindication by the Father. Because no sooner had the Lord Jesus spoken those words, and we read that the paralytic got up in full view of them all and walked out of the house. The Father in heaven backed up these words of Jesus Christ and vindicated Jesus Christ by allowing the Lord Jesus to perform this miracle. And then we read about the reaction of the crowd. They were amazed and they glorified God. And we read that they said, we never saw anything like this. And you might say, well, what do you mean? We never saw anything like this. The Lord Jesus had gone all over Galilee, healing people of all kinds of diseases. They had seen it or they had heard about it. But now they said, we've never seen anything like this. What they meant was, we have never seen Jesus Christ perform a miracle to show that he has authority to forgive sins. That was something new. The Lord Jesus made very clear with this miracle that he has authority to forgive sins. Well, congregation, when that paralytic came to Jesus, the Lord Jesus first spoke about forgiveness, and then he healed the man. He first extended forgiveness, and then healing, because forgiveness is our greatest need. And the Lord Jesus was heading toward the cross when this incident occurred. The Lord Jesus was still early on in his ministry, but he was heading toward the cross where he would suffer and die for the sins of God's people and redeem us. And by grace through faith, we share in that gospel of the forgiveness of our sins. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when we repent from our sins, we may be fully assured, as you're going to hear in the Lord's Supper Forum next week, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. And when we believe in Jesus Christ and have the forgiveness of our sins, a whole new world opens up for us. A world in which there will be no disability, no sickness, no COVID-19, no burdens of life, no death, and no sorrow. And that's good news. Amen.